This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Shady's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, what would getting rid of divisions mean for certain schools, such as the Gamecocks? We'll also get another Tiger Woods update as well as the PGA Championship continues. And of course, the big drama of the day has been the war of words between Jimbo and Nick Saban. Looking forward to that matchup on October 8th. The Citadel, that's their Parents' Day weekend. Now, the Citadel, they usually play afternoon games anyways. I imagine Alabama, Texas A&M, that's a primetime event. So at least it's a home game. I won't be traveling. So for selfish purposes, that works out. Do the game during the day, get home and watch that. That game on that Saturday night, October 8th, Alabama against Texas A&M. I mean, it should be fun to begin with, but now you throw in all this drama. Media days will be interesting. The SEC meetings in a week and a half will be interesting. And that game will be most interesting come October. By the way, speaking of wild money stories involving money, right? Nick Saban's complaining and claiming that Texas A&M was paying all their recruits to come to school. Also said that Deion Sanders gave, Travis Hunter $1 million? He then tweeted out, Travis did, if I got $1 million, how come my mom and siblings are still living in a three-room house? I'm paraphrasing, but something along those lines. Well, speaking of money stories, I saw this morning. An official in Japan mistakenly wired a rural town's entire COVID relief budget to a single person, $360,000. So a person in Japan somehow gets that money wired into their account, $360,000. If that money shows up in your account one day, Trent, What are you thinking? What are you doing when you look at your, maybe on your phone, you bring up the banking app and you see $360,000 deposited into the account?
You know, Luke, I'd probably want to do the right thing and see where the money came from, and hopefully I wouldn't be taking anybody else's money. COVID relief, that's tough. I mean, I don't want to take anybody's money from that. A lot of people struggled. But, Luke, I don't know, knee-jerk reaction, book the next flight to Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, and just get out of here, start a new life, invest in some property, and leave. See you later. No more sports radio.
Well, this guy, after originally saying he was going to return the cash, he took a run to the local casino. And he gambled it all away. He lost it all.
No.
$360,000 gambled away at a casino.
Dang. I would have put $100,000 on Alabama to win the national championship next year if that's the case.
I mean, this guy, you got to have a problem, right? I could understand if someone were to give you what you believe is free money, sure, try to go double it. Let me go to the casino with some of this money and turn it into even more. You know, it becomes like funny money.
Was this guy Phil Mickelson, or is this a different guy?
Yeah, this guy is also joining the Saudi Arabian backed golf tour. He's only 24 years old. The town is now suing him, and he's been arrested.
Oh, no.
So the message of the story is, I guess, just do the right thing and give the money back. And certainly, if you're not going to give the money back, don't gamble it away. Because now I imagine he owes $360,000. That he obviously does not have. He gambled it away. And he's been arrested, and he's being sued probably for the money. It was supposed to be a $775 payment for, like, each person. He got $360,000. Went to the casino and blew it all. I don't know what game he was playing. Maybe it was a series of games. I don't have the details here on how exactly you blow through that much money and how quick or how long that takes. But that's wild. Maybe he showed up and he put it all on black.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's something to do. Maybe he was driving in and saw something that said, you know what, I'm going to put it on black.
Yep.
It's like when you're driving, you get in the Uber to go to the casino, they got red seats, you know what you're putting on.
Putting it all. 360,000 right there. 48% chance. Come on. Come up black at the roulette table. He lost it all. Brutal. So if you think Jimbo Fisher is being reckless and just throwing money around, get a load of this 24-year-old in Japan who just blew through $360,000 of the government's money in a local casino. In regards to college football, we'll continue to talk about Saban and Jimbo. But when it comes to the SEC or just college football in general, more conferences are moving in this direction of getting rid of divisions. And I've gone on record long before this became a thing this offseason that this is a good move. We should get rid of divisions in all conferences. The Pac-12 just announced that for their Pac-12 championship, they're going to take just the two best teams. Now, that I don't like as much because if you're going to keep the divisions, they're not getting rid of the divisions just yet. They're going to. But they said in the meantime, until we get rid of the divisions, maybe next year, for the Pac-12 championship, we're just going to take the two teams with the best record. Problem is, as long as you still have the divisions, the teams are not playing the same schedules or the same teams. So I don't like that. One division could just be a lot weaker than the other, and you're going to take the two teams out of that division that have the two best records. That's not entirely fair. And I know whenever you use, oh, it's not fair, right? Life isn't fair. We could come up with countless examples. But that doesn't seem like a change that is necessary right now. Just remove divisions next year and take the top two teams. But do you have to do it right now while still keeping the divisions? I don't know. But maybe I'm just nitpicking. But I saw an interesting idea that was floated out by Stuart Mandel, who covers college football. And he was pondering that once all these conferences get rid of divisions, who's going to suffer the most? And South Carolina actually made his list. And it's an interesting idea. And maybe it should be a concern for Gamecock fans. Right? I'm a fan of removing divisions. But if you're a Gamecock fan, maybe you should be against it. Because now think about it. In order to get to the SEC championship, if you're South Carolina, you really just have to be better than Georgia. Those other teams are all pretty even. Typically, Florida would be that second-best team. Right now, Florida's a little down. So for South Carolina, I would put them on level footing right now with a Kentucky, a Tennessee, Missouri, Florida, Vanderbilt. We've talked about it on the show before, but all those schools are kind of competing for second. And then Georgia is above the rest of them. Georgia's in Tier 1. The rest of them are in Tier 2. They're trying to catch up to Georgia. And let's say Georgia has a down year. South Carolina has a great year. That's like the one speed bump. That's the one bump in the road. You got to get past the hurdle that you could win the East. Now, obviously, it's not that simple, right? You still have to have a better record than Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri. But I put them all on the same level. So if you're South Carolina, really, it's about having a better year than Georgia. That's the goal. That's the number one team you're always aiming for. And if you do that, you get to the SEC championship. You win the East, you get to the SEC title game. And now, who knows what could happen in the SEC title game? You could win the SEC championship. You're at least getting there. Now, fast forward to next year, or maybe 2 years from now, when they remove divisions. Now, everybody's bunched together, and they're only taking the top two teams. Now, we assume the top two teams will still be Alabama, Georgia, so you're telling me, well, theoretically, you still just have to be better than Georgia. You could go face Alabama in the SEC title game. Nothing changes. And that is true, but then you also have to now throw in Texas A&M into the mix, who just had the number one recruiting class and really ticked off Saban. And then Ole Miss, who was a top 10 team, and then Arkansas is a top 20 team. And then LSU, who just won a national championship a couple years ago. And then Auburn, who's a great program. You get the idea. I don't need to break it down for you. If you're a Gamecock fan, if you're an SEC fan, you understand the question. That is it worse for the Gamecocks once you remove divisions? Because we know the East Division is not as good, as not as deep or as strong as the West. South Carolina stands a better chance in the East than they would in the West. And when we remove divisions and just put them all together, now you're competing with more teams. Makes it even harder. And some really tough teams. You go from that East Division, that outside of Georgia, I mean, the Gamecocks, again, we've been discussing it this offseason. I'm wondering who's going to step up to be that number two team. I think it's Tennessee, and I think Kentucky has a pretty good year this year. I don't think it's South Carolina. I put South Carolina around 7 to 8 wins this year. But they do have a chance. Maybe it's a slim chance. Maybe it's an outside chance. If Spencer Rattler plays really well, that division's wide open behind Georgia. Florida just hired a new coach coming off a bad year. Missouri's coming off a bad year. I think their coach, if things don't go well this year, he could be on the hot seat. Kentucky's still Kentucky. I think they have a ceiling, and they hit it last year. I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee will be the second-best team in that division, but same idea as South Carolina. Second-year head coach, and they won as many games as the Gamecocks did last year. So if I think they're going to climb forward, why can't South Carolina as well? In the same division, second-year coach as well, exciting quarterback, same number of wins last year in year one. Right, both made it to a bowl game. South Carolina won theirs. So you get the point. Right, South Carolina, they have just about as good of a chance as any of those other teams to be the second-best team in the division. But you throw them into now just the SEC, no divisions, and you're competing with all those schools, it's tough to be in the top two to get to an SEC championship. So I think it's a fair question from Stuart Mandel, or at least a fair inclusion to have the Gamecocks on that list and wonder about that. But I would like to think that maybe not in the next couple of years, but at some point, South Carolina could get back to a point where maybe it's just a one-off, maybe it's just 1 year, but they have a really good season where they do, in fact, finish in the top two. Maybe it's not until Saban retires. Maybe eventually Georgia, Alabama, even if it's just for 1 year, take a step back. But other schools that you're certainly concerned about, like Vanderbilt's not winning the SEC now. They're certainly not going to win it if you get rid of divisions. That's the concern. It's not going to get easier once you remove divisions for some of these schools that already can't win the SEC being in the East Division. You could also be concerned about a Missouri. Missouri, their best success was when they first joined the conference. And then some things have changed, and they haven't been able to quite keep up of late. Once you get rid of the divisions, it's only going to get tougher. Other schools I would be concerned about, Northwestern in the Big Ten. You get rid of divisions, it's going to make it harder on Northwestern to try to keep up with Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan. You get a little bit of a head start being in the much weaker division of the Big Ten. Now you have to deal with those other schools, the best schools of the Big Ten. It's going to make it challenging for a Northwestern who's already behind the eight ball when it comes to that type of school. It's such an academic school to try to compete with the other teams in the Big Ten. So a Northwestern would have a hard time in the Big Ten, or certainly a harder time getting rid of divisions. Arizona, I would say, out in the Pac-12. Now, maybe Jed Fish is the guy, but boy, has Arizona been a disaster for a long time. And their schedule or their race to the top of the division would only get harder. Or I should say top of the conference would only get harder without divisions. In the ACC, clearly Duke. Right, Duke already doesn't stand much of a chance. But you get rid of divisions, it's only going to make it harder on a Duke. But point being, for South Carolina, it could be a concern. For a lot of teams, it could be a concern. It could be one of those things that you don't really think about. See, I didn't think about it. I thought, yeah, it's get rid of divisions. Divisions make no sense. Let's take the two best teams. And I still believe that. But one of the maybe unintended consequences is that for certain teams, it becomes a lot harder. That instead of competing with your division, especially if you're in the weaker division of the conference, now suddenly you have to compete with everybody. And your schedule may get a lot harder because you play some of the tougher teams in the conference that you didn't have to worry about before. If I look at the Big 12, the Big 12, that's because they got rid of divisions. That's why. They already got rid of divisions. So the Big 12, they're irrelevant to the conversation. They're already dealing. Kansas has already had to deal with this. That's why I was trying to think of what are the divisions in the Big 12? Who's going to take a hit from this? Well, the Big 12 is ahead of everybody. They already got rid of divisions. So it'd be Duke in the ACC. It'd certainly be Vanderbilt in the SEC. It'd be Arizona in the Pac-12. It'd be Northwestern in the Big 10 as the main teams that would struggle. Then you could also be concerned about a Colorado, maybe a South Carolina, maybe a Missouri, some other schools as well that now have to enter the tougher part of their conferences. It is an interesting idea. Gamecock fans, I'm sure, wouldn't want to hear such a thing. You think Shane Beamer is really building this program, and maybe he is. But things are probably only going to get more difficult when you remove divisions in the SEC for the Gamecocks. Speaking of Shane Beamer, he had some comments yesterday about this whole name, image, likeness thing and the Jimbo and the Saban thing because he was out at a speaking engagement last night. Here's what Shane Beamer had to say. I just have the quotes. I'll read them for you. He said, quote, "What I don't like is it's turned into buying recruits, and that's not what the rule was intended to be. That's my honest, politically correct answer on all that. But I think most college coaches will tell you that the way it is right now is not sustainable, and it's not what it was intended to be." Which is pretty much what Saban was saying last night as well. Beamer finished up by saying, quote, "We need to figure out the best way to get it under control for us, for the student athletes, and for everyone involved." That's how he was, that's his thoughts on name, image, likeness. He also said that for some of his guys, they've used their money that they've gotten through name, image, likeness to put together camps in their hometowns for kids. They've used their money from name, image, likeness to buy Christmas gifts for the less fortunate around the holidays. And Beamer said that's how the rule was intended to be used. Which goes back to what I said last hour and what I've been saying all offseason. I'm for name, image, and likeness, but the idea, what we thought we were signing up for, and we all kind of knew better, that it was going to only turn into shadier business. But the idea was you sign some autographs, you could sell some merchandise, you could do appearances, that sort of thing. Now you could get a job if you want. I have told the story. I was out to eat with the Citadel basketball team. One of the players wanted to play the, you know, the game you put a quarter in and you try to, with the claw, you try to grab something. We were out at a restaurant. Obviously, he didn't have, I think it was a dollar. He didn't have any, like, cash on him. He was asking for a dollar. He wasn't thinking. He asked the coach, like, hey, coach, you got a dollar so I could play this? And the coach said, I can't do that. Right? That's a violation. Something like that is so silly. That's why I was for name, image, and likeness. Like, you should be able to, if the coach wants to give you a dollar, and still, I don't know if coaches can give the players money directly right now, but you get the idea. Something as silly as that should be changed. But what I did not like is what it's turned into is just paying kids to come onto campus. And that's what a lot of these coaches are being turned off by. Saban, at least in his comments last night, Beamer as well. And the idea is that that's what Jimbo's doing at Texas A&M. Coming up, we'll continue to talk about that story. We'll also get a Tiger Woods update as well. See what's going on. The latest at the PGA Championship. The More Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll get you another update on Tiger Woods and how he's doing in Oklahoma with the PGA Championship continuing. With the hot topic of the day, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban sparring over name, image, and likeness going after one another. Saban started it with some words last night. Jimbo came back with a flamethrower this morning, throwing his former boss really under the bus, accusing him of doing some things that require some digging. And this is only, I'm sure, the beginning of all this as those two will play in October. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones. Mark is with us. Mark, what's going on? How are you?
Tip top. How are you doing today, Luke?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, I was just thinking, all the money that's flowing free right now, when are we going to hear about the first betting scandal?
Yeah, first betting scandal. Well, I don't know if it's necessary now with name, image, and likeness that they can make money other ways. They don't have to resort to something like that.
Well, I think they are resorting to something like that because that money's going to be out there, and then somebody's going to come to them one day and say, remember that check we wrote to you?
Right, that's fair. That's like a make good, right? You're saying they're going to have to throw a game?
Yes, sir.
To make somebody happy? It's an interesting theory.
Several people involved in that, so, I mean, as a whole team, I mean, you can get one or two guys in, and then you pretty much got your mortgage made for the couple years.
Right. It's an interesting theory. It's a concern with just money being pumped into the sports that things will become shadier. Appreciate the call, Mark. That's the concern of it all. You want to keep the purity, sanctity of a sport, and people are tempted by the money. I don't know. I could see. When you dig a little bit more, when you gave me a little bit more in the theory, all right, I see where you're coming from. But a lot of these guys are making enough money they don't have to worry about that. Could some other guys throw a game? I guess so. Well, who's to say that that's any – the likelihood of that is any higher now than ever before? Maybe it's easier to get the guys the money. And I know he was saying that if somebody had given them money before, you come back afterwards and say, hey, remember that check I gave you? Well, now I need a little favor from you. I scratch your back, you have to scratch mine. Sure, I guess it's a concern. I don't know how likely it would be. But that's why, like, in the case of the NFL with the Calvin Ridley suspension, I think the bigger concern in all that is just with the legalization of gambling. That's where maybe that concern comes into play. Because now it's easier. It's legal in all these different states. More people are involved. The players now can get involved just through an app themselves if they really wanted to. I think that's where the concern comes from. Not so much name, image, likeness. But, yeah, if you're going to be pumping money into the sport, just in general, one of the concerns has always been kind of like the shadiness of it all, whether it's recruiting or maybe potentially throwing games. But maybe we have to start worrying about players throwing games now to get NIL money. let's go back to our Tiger Woods update desk to see the latest on how Tiger's doing in Oklahoma.
Tiger Woods, PGA Tour.
Luke, as we speak right now, Tiger is teeing off on the sixth hole there through 15, and currently he is tied for 38th at 2 over. Now, Jordan Spieth in the same group is also at 2 over, but Rory McIlroy is pulling away right now at minus 6. He is 3 shots ahead of Tom Hoge, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, who is 3 under right now. Rory having an absolute phenomenal day. Tiger's been consistent over these last couple holes, couple back-to-back bogeys, hit a par. The irons look good for Tiger right now, and I think that's the most important thing for the big cat as he continues going on through this PGA Championship. But plus 2, tied for 38th, plus 2 for Jordan Spieth, tied for 38th, and Rory McIlroy, same group, your leader at 6 under par.
All right. We'll see how Tiger finishes up today.
He's wearing all navy, by the way. He's in the navy today.
Yeah?
Very important to note.
Anybody else? What happened last time? It was like the next day, right? Somebody else wore...
Rory wore pink. Yeah, I mean, after Tiger wore pink. And I know that Nike sets up all their outfits, but that's on Nike for setting Rory up like that. He got eviscerated online. Unbelievable.
And especially now that they're in the same group today, the same pairing. Nike, you got to make sure that you don't screw this stuff up today. I see Rory right here wearing like a lime green shirt with some stripes on it.
Oh, yeah. Lime green. Jordan Spieth's got on an Under Armour purple striped shirt. These are important facts that need to be stated, folks.
I don't know if I'm a big lime green guy.
No.
I don't think it looks great. Hey, look, it's working. Rory's killing it right now, 6 under.
Yeah, if you can pull it off, you can pull it off.
But... Yeah, who am I to talk?
I stick to the neutrals.
Yeah, I don't get too crazy. I don't see you wear. You like the bright colors at all? Not a bright color guy.
Maybe on the weekend if I'm feeling spicy, Luke. There's no doubt.
Bright color
on the
weekend.
You know what color I will throw on? Yellow. I'll throw on
yellow
every so often.
Really?
Yeah, just throw on yellow. You know, with some depending on the pant color and some white sneakers. That'll never hurt you. That'll never hurt you.
If I go like a bright color, I don't know if I'm pulling yellow. I do have a Charleston Battery shirt. That's the only yellow I think I have in my wardrobe. I may do like a little I'll do a little salmon color.
Ooh, yeah, a little pink. Yeah, I have a light purple that I like to
purple's
wear.
Good.
A couple purples.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a Vikings fan. I love purple solid. That's a good one.
Well, it's not a dark purple. It's a light purple, right?
Close enough. Any purple's fine with me. Not bad. And I don't think it counts, but like the Citadel blue I'm wearing now, I do like that color. I like a nice Citadel blue.
Yeah, you can't count like a light blue as a neutral,
no,
but that is something that a lot of people wear.
Yeah. It's close enough. I put it in there. Nice color. Hey, speaking of which, I was up early this morning. Are you a night person or a morning person?
You know, Luke, I fell asleep relatively early last night after the Warriors were just eviscerating the Mavs. I said, you know, I'm going to call it in early. Fell asleep on the couch. Didn't mean to do that. But I wake up, you know, around the same time every single day. I know you're a night owl, but you've been having some early mornings as of recent.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you're not a morning person, but then you get up in the morning, you kind of feel like accomplished. I almost feel like an adult for once. I actually got up early, and I did. It's only 9 a.m., and I already got something done, and you're right, you feel good. I had to get up early the last couple of days for some work stuff over at the Citadel. But, you know, not a morning person. I don't really care to be a morning person. I like staying up late, but when you do have to get up early and you get that maybe it's a little brisk in the morning or a little dewy, and you got to wipe down the car a little bit, and you're out driving around and the roads aren't as busy, and you go get a little Dunkin' Donuts or something, and you get something done, it's only 9 o'clock, and you're already off and rolling, that does feel kind of nice. Now, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir. There's a lot of people listening, like, oh, listen to this jerk-off. He doesn't have to show up to work till 11 o'clock, and he's complaining he has to wake up early a couple of times. I know there's a lot of people up at the crack of dawn doing whatever you got to do and working an actual tough job. But I'm not a morning person. But I'll tell you this. They were kind enough to provide donuts the last couple of days.
Ooh.
If you go donuts, what donut do you go with? What's your favorite donut?
You know, this might sound crazy, Luke, but if I get a coffee, you know, let's say you go through the Dunkin' drive-thru, if I'm getting a black coffee, that's how I drink the coffee, I will get an old-fashioned donut.
Yes, thank you.
You beat me to it. Are you an old-fashioned guy?
It may not be my top preference,
okay,
but I had one this morning, and it's not like it's my first time. I brought this conversation up because I was going to say, very underrated is the old-fashioned donut.
You dunk it in the coffee. That's why they call it Dunkin'. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. Look, I'll also say Boston Cream is up there for me as well. I think it goes one Boston Cream and two old-fashioned. I sound like, you know, an old guy right now.
Yeah, you sound old-fashioned.
I'm in my young 20s.
You kind of lose me in the Boston Cream. No. I'm not a big cream donut guy. Anything that's got a filling, I'm out on that.
Chocolate glaze? You a chocolate glaze guy? Yeah.
I love a good chocolate glaze. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Now, the best donut around is truly the glaze, Krispy Kreme, fresh, hot, warm. You can't top it.
It's got to be hot.
Oh, fantastic. A regular glaze, not bad either. But yeah, I had an old-fashioned donut this morning, and I always like those, and I don't get them too often. Because if I go for donuts, though, I feel like I don't get donuts very often. So if I'm going to go donut, I got to do it big.
Yeah, get a variety. You know, give me the blueberry. Yeah. Give me the strawberry sprinkles.
Funny you mentioned blueberry. I had a blueberry donut yesterday, maybe the first time ever. That's right. I had donuts back-to-back days. That's what happens when you get up early. And that was fantastic. I loved it.
Was it a blueberry glazed by chance?
It was.
Phenomenal.
That was good. I don't think I've ever had that before.
Big donut guy.
Love a good donut. One of my favorite donuts, too, is the coconut. Ooh. I could put away some coconut donuts. Those are fantastic. I could talk donuts with you all day. But if they got filling, I'm out on the filling. They got chocolate. Double chocolate, delicious. Chocolate donut with a chocolate covering on top. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the point of all this, the reason why I brought up the donuts was just because simply I wanted to say the old-fashioned donut, very underrated. It may not be as, you know, special. It's like all reliable. Very basic donut, but delicious. When we come back, we'll get to Trent's Takes. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Don't forget, we'll be giving away tickets to the Charleston Battery game coming up this weekend. We'll catch up with a member of the Battery later on this afternoon as well. Stay tuned for that. I got some thoughts as well on the developments from the soccer world this week. We'll get to that coming up. Plenty more to do. But around this time, each and every day, we check in with the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The radio cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, before we get into some sports topics, we do have to address one of the greatest documentaries I've seen in quite some time, that being the Fyre Fest, not only on Netflix, but as well on Hulu. Now, if you don't know what the Fyre Fest was, folks, a man by the name of Billy McFarlane and hip-hop sensation Ja Rule created a company called Fyre, where they were going to hold a music festival on a remote island, and it turned out to be one of the most disastrous things in history, Luke. It's unbelievable. There was thousands of people trapped in the Great Exuma Island, if I'm not mistaken, in the Bahamas. They marketed it as, you know, this is Pablo Escobar's island. There's going to be all these celebrities here. One of the most hilarious things I've ever seen in my life. And this gentleman, the creator of it, Billy McFarland, has been in jail, reportedly been in jail. My sources say otherwise. Luke, reportedly been in jail for the last 6 years. And now he is officially out. So I ask you, Luke Morrow, obviously the crypto business is going crazy. The NFT business is going crazy. Do we see a Fyre crypto? Do we see a Fyre NFT? I sure hope so, because he does seem like the guy. He's probably been working on this for the last couple years. Now that he's out, all the legal troubles behind him, boom, he's hitting the ground running in the crypto market. But unbelievable that this guy is out of jail, running around after he stole, I believe the total number was $120 million away from people and other companies that invested. And all of that has to be paid back. And none of it, newsflash, none of it's going to be paid back, Luke. None of it.
Yeah, that's always crazy about this. There's a radio host who I grew up listening to. I'm still a fan. He's back in the business. Craig Carton, who defrauded a bunch of people as well. And so same idea. He's got to pay back like millions of dollars, but it's over such a long period of time, and you have to make such small payments like each month to be able to keep up. And yeah, it's one of those things. Somebody takes you for a few million bucks, and then maybe over the next 50 years, you finally get it back. That's why I'm a hot take here. I'm big anti-frauds. I hate when people take money like that from others. So, yeah, forget this guy. But he got out early. Good for him, I guess. Out after a couple of years, and we'll see what he does next.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the mind of Billy McFarland. I mean, remember him? He started the Magnesis credit card. That was a scam. He started Fire, which was a scam. And then before he went to jail after Fire, he started a ticket selling service to exclusive events. That was a scam. The guy's an absolute scam artist, and he is back roaming the streets of Manhattan. So look out, folks. If you're on West 42nd and you see a guy named Billy McFarland, he might try to scam you out of a couple hundred bucks. The guy sure needs it right now. But Luke, I wanted to touch for a second on the Jimbo and Saban nonsense, what's going on. Look, my whole take on NIL, I absolutely love it, Luke. I think the players should be able to make money off their name. I agree with you to the point where this is getting a little out of hand, where it's pay for play. But let's not be fools here, folks. This has been going on for quite some time, as we've known, as it's been reported. How do you think the Florida Gators won two national championships in a four-year span? It's very difficult to do. How did they get all the five-star players in their recruiting class from 2006 to 2010? It wasn't just Urban Meyer. I'm sorry to admit it. I admit that from my own school. And Nick Saban as well. How did he get all his recruits? Is it just Nick Saban? Or should we dive into the amount of local banks that he owns around Tuscaloosa and all the Mercedes dealerships and all the real estate that he owns as well? You could dive into all that and make theories about, you know, what he's done to get recruits over the past 10 years or so. But also, college football, hate to break it to everybody, is a money-making enterprise. This is a massive business for TV markets, a massive business for schools. So I have I don't mind it at all that players are making money, because last year, Luke, players were making money, and it was one of the best college football seasons that we've had in quite some time, and I think that will continue. As long as the play on the field doesn't change, I have no problem with NIL. I have no problem with people making money. I do have a slight problem with the boosters getting involved and handing kids money. I do believe a brand or something should reach out and pay you. But I have no problem whatsoever with players making money. As long as play on the field change, I do not care, Luke. That's just what it is. But, I mean, Jimbo brings up great points. You want to dive into Nick Saban? You can dive into Nick Saban. There's a lot of stories over the years about how Nick Saban has got recruits to his schools, how Urban Meyer's gotten recruits to Ohio State and Florida. It's all been there. Jimbo Fisher said it last year during his press conference. He said, This has been going on forever. Everybody's been doing it. And now that it's legal, it's just being brought to light. But the play on the field hasn't changed. And that's my most important, part of it. That's all I care about. On Saturdays, those guys are going to go out there and play good football. And it's happened last year. And it's going to continue to happen for years to come, Luke.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole idea about the sausage being made. As long as the product's still good, you still enjoy the games, college football still entertains you, does it really matter how we get to that point? If guys are making money doing other things, as long as the product's still the same on Saturday. You don't care how that sausage is being made, but, you'll eat it for breakfast every day. Hot dogs, same idea, all that sort of stuff, right? Kind of looking the other way. So for college football, as long as it doesn't creep into the on-field product, yeah, I don't know how big of an impact we're getting up in arms over things that really maybe don't impact us at all. Now, are you team Jimbo or team Saban?
Right now, I'm team Jimbo. And I would never thought I would say that as a Florida Gator fan, a man who coached at Florida State, but I'm team Jimbo. Look, I thought it was a little low of Nick Saban to go. I've never seen a coach like Nick Saban, directly go after another coach. And also, Deion Sanders, going after him. He coaches at an FCS school, Nick Saban, all right? If he paid $1 million for Travis Hunter, he paid $1 million to Travis Hunter. They're not competing with you whatsoever. Travis Hunter wasn't going to go to Alabama regardless. It was down to Florida State and Jackson State, and he chose Jackson State. And I'm sure as well Florida State was offering Travis Hunter money. Let's not be fools. That's all I'm saying, Luke. This has been going on forever. Let's not be fools about it. Now that it's just up in the light, we can get all up in arms about it. Yeah, I'm team Jimbo right now. I know everybody's going to say, we don't believe anything Jimbo says. Nick Saban's our God and everything like that. We listen to everything he says. What Jimbo was saying, dive into his dirty laundry. See what he did to get recruits. We did it in a legal way in Texas because Texas is basically wide open. It's wild, wild west. You can do whatever you want. they brought in the recruits the way that they needed to bring in recruits. And now Saban's kind of sitting there being like, all right. And he's asking, Luke, he's asking for parity when Alabama's in the SEC championship every single year, when they're in the national championship every other year. What parity do you want? If anything, NIL and the transfer portal is going to bring more parity, because you have schools like Texas, schools like Southern California, even South Carolina, bringing in quality recruits to compete with the Alabama and the Ohio States of the world. That brings more parity. If you want to stop that, it's going to go back to the same thing it always is. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, who's going to win the national championship? If you want parity, we keep it like this and have schools like Southern Cal and others making money for their kids being able to compete for a national championship. That's all I'm saying.
I think I'm really fascinated by what Jimbo said about Saban and, you know, kind of skeletons in the closet. But what's also interesting about that is that I guess you're also kind of like telling on yourself as well, right? If you're alluding to the things you did under Nick Saban at a school, I guess Jimbo would also in the process kind of be tattling on the things he did himself. Maybe that's why he doesn't come out and just directly say it. But obviously, this story is not going anywhere, and we'll see what happens next. Maybe it's a press conference from Deion Sanders going at Saban as well. But we're probably just getting started in all this.
Oh, I can't wait, Luke. I can't wait. I'd get a little fired up there, because that's just the way I look at this. It's like, if the product on the field doesn't change, I'm good to go. Saturdays are Saturdays. Regardless of who's playing for the team, I do not care. It's always great college football. Now, Luke, tonight at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, the Miami Heat will take on the Boston Celtics. This is a must-win at home. We got to do it. Now, I looked at the injury report this morning and got a tad bit nervous. Gabe Vincent, one of our backup point guards, he is day-to-day right now. He had a massive game in game one. Max Strus, our guy, Luke, he's day-to-day as well. We have no confirmation on when they will play. This is a massive loss, but like we've talked about, this is an opportunity for guys like Duncan Robinson, $90 million a year, and Tyler Hero to step up. Jimmy Butler can't do it, every night. But I also will say, Luke, make another prediction. By the way, I'm 5-1 on my predictions in the last couple days. Thank you very much. Only missed the Curry over last night. But Jimmy Butler, once again, hammer the over. He's got to go off tonight with the injuries that are going on with the Miami Heat right now. Still, Al Horford and Marcus Smart are questionable for tonight, but it doesn't matter, Luke. The Miami Heat are going to get it done in game two at home. This is a step on the throat game, Luke. Go up 2-0 into Boston. Personally, I think Boston won both games, and now we're open. Here we go, Luke. We've got a 2-2 series coming out of game four. I absolutely love it right now. The Miami Heat need this tonight, Luke. They need it back.
Jimmy Butler over 26.5.
Oh, hammer that all day long, twice on Sundays. Luke, are you kidding me? I not gambling advice, put the mortgage on it. What are we doing? He's going to go for 30 at least. He's going to go for 30 at least, Luke. There's no doubt about it. No doubt.
The Heat are favored by 3.
Oh, I already took him this morning. Uh-huh. I'll take him again. I always bet the Miami Heat, which has, been a lot of, a downfall for me in the past couple months. But right now, I am locked in on this team. They haven't lost at home all playoffs, yeah. Luke, so I'm locked in. Here we go. Heat culture.
That'd be huge. You go up 2-0 at home. Like I said earlier, right, for the Celtics, they win tonight, and they still kind of they do their job. You just have to split on the road. So even though the Heat, played so well in that second half and won game one, which also it's interesting that the Heat only outscored the Celtics in the third quarter. That's how dominating of a third quarter it was. The Celtics won the other three quarters, still lost the game by double digits. So curious to see what happens tonight. Obviously, if the Celtics aren't at full strength, that doesn't help. But if Boston evens up the series going back to Boston, they feel pretty good. If Miami obviously wins this game, you feel pretty good up 2-0, even if you have to hit the road. So we'll see what happens tonight, 8:30 on ESPN. Anything else that we didn't get to?
I don't know, Luke. I'm losing my voice now because of my NIL conversation.
It's so fired up.
It does. It just fires me up because I know all the people that complain are the schools that aren't benefiting from this. But what it does is maybe level the playing field. Hey, we can get, this guy money. We'll bring in a 5-star, or maybe a 5-star wouldn't go. That brings parity. What doesn't bring parity is Alabama and Clemson playing for the national championship every year. Alabama and Georgia playing for the SEC championship every year. That's not parody. What do you want? What do you want, Nick? Like, that's all I ask for him. What do you want?
Yeah, what you said right in the beginning there is, I think what's interesting, or maybe why people were so surprised that it was specifically Nick Saban. Because, like, if a Pittsburgh comes out and complains, you get it a little more. Like, yeah, they can't keep up. It's a little unfair to Pittsburgh that Texas A&M is getting all these talented players because they're spending money, or even just the transfer portal, Pittsburgh lost their best wide receiver. But the fact that it is a Nick Saban probably makes some of the comments – or just his complaints, ring hollow for a lot of college football fans. Like, oh, Saban really wants to complain with all his national championships and the dynasty and the great players they brought in. And now, just because Texas A&M beat them last year and Texas A&M had the number one recruiting class, and maybe Saban feels like they're closing in, right now he's trying to keep them at an arm's length. So I think that's part of the problem for some. Now, as I always say, listen to the message, not the messenger, for that very reason. You'll discount what he's saying because it's like, oh, who's Nick Saban to say this? But there could be some truth to what he's actually saying. It depends what side of the aisle you fall on. I am more towards Saban's side in the sense that, well, as I've been saying, throughout the afternoon and throughout the offseason, I'm for name, image, likeness before they even implemented it. I said we should have something like that. I just don't like the pay-for-play idea. Now, again, maybe Saban's not the best guy to deliver said message. But if what he's saying about Texas A&M is true, I'm not really a huge fan of paying these kids a lot of money coming out of high school just to come to the program. Jimbo still has to find a way to win with these kids. He hasn't won enough games at Texas A&M. It'll be interesting to see where things go. We'll continue to talk about it throughout the afternoon. I've seen some interesting tweets on the subject as well that we will reference coming up. And we'll also continue to keep an eye on Tiger Woods. Tiger almost got hit by somebody's shot.
Take him off the tour. I mean, you're going to hit Tiger with a ball. What are you doing? Get off the tour.
He was lining up his own. He hit it off the fairway. And as he was standing there getting ready, he had a duck out of the way. Another golf ball came flying in and landed right next to him. I saw that Kelsey Winger, I think is her name. She used to work for the Braves as like the dugout reporter. Not like, you know, they don't have a sideline in baseball, but the sideline reporter. She got hit by a foul ball the other night. She now works for the Colorado Rockies. She got hit in the head. She was in the camera well next to the dugout. She got hit in the head by a foul ball at 95 miles per hour off the bat. And she posted a photo on social media yesterday to let people know she was okay, but she had to get stitches in her forehead. And she went through all the scans and everything was, I can only imagine what that's like. Getting hit in the head, pretty close distance too, with a foul ball coming off the bat at almost 100 miles an hour. I imagine if you're Tiger and you get struck by a golf ball, that's going to hurt too. Fortunately, it missed him. Anyways, we'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today? It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
As they drag you by your feet. But the hangman is hanging. And they put you on the street. Yeah, you go back, Jack. Do it again. Wheel turning round and round. You go back, Jack.
Wrapping up hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, in case you missed it earlier, we'll play the audio again of Saban and Jimbo Fisher. It's been the big story going on. And I love seeing all the different reactions and thoughts. And then even more of the quotes from Jimbo this morning, really going hard at Nick Saban. It's talking season, but I don't know if we've really had something like this with a couple of coaches directly going at one another, you know, making it so personal. And also for the subject matter as well, where you're calling somebody else, you know, essentially a cheat. And, you know, these coaches, they don't take too kindly to that. We'll break it all down coming up. Plus, we'll catch up with one of the players on the Charleston Battery. We'll give away some tickets to the Battery's next game this weekend. Talk a little soccer coming up next hour. We'll update you on Tiger Woods once again as he comes down the home stretch of his first round in Oklahoma. Plenty more to do. Hour three coming up. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.